is a beautiful morning this morning. Friday morning, here we are. Final push into the weekend. Evan Bray, great to have you here. And hopefully you've got some time to enjoy this weekend, although I do know we don't have all of the seating done. I thought the number I saw, I thought it was around 73% of the province has got the crop in the ground. So people will be in the field this weekend, but it's going to be a nice weekend weather-wise. Should cooperate, get that outside work done. If you didn't get it done last weekend, your plans were thwarted on the long weekend because of the rain and the cold, this weekend might help you out. We've got a great show planned for you on this Friday. The head of the Saskatchewan RCMP is joining me for her regular monthly check-in, Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore. Lots going on in the province for the RCMP, so we will have a chat with her. Welcome your questions as always as well. A large energy conference happening at Prairieland in Saskatoon next week. Its goal is to explore the potential of First Nations leadership in North America's energy transition. I've got Sheldon Watney, the CEO of the Saskatchewan First Nations Natural Resource Center of Excellence, joining us. Of course, Friday brings you some regular segments, Bugs and Hugs at 10, Belton Johnson, it's Eaton Time at 11. And speaking of Belton, the Riders back in action. First preseason game happening this weekend, 2 o'clock on Saturday, yes, tomorrow in Winnipeg, which means green and white prognostications back for another year. All you've got to do is call us, let us know who's winning the game, what the score will be, the closest to wins, and we've got a whole new prize package this year. We'll talk about that closer to noon today. All right, let's get going with today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
Well, this is kind of like deja vu because just before Christmas, you and I talked a lot about Canada Post, the post model that we have in Canada, and the fact that maybe it's time we rethink things. People aren't sending letters. People aren't sending the mail the way they used to. And while we talk about that, we also talk about a contract for workers. They were on strike for a big chunk of time leading up to Christmas. We all remember that too well. Then they get this reprieve, this period of time where the government gives them to cool off and try and work it out. That expires yesterday. And while there's been some back and forth, they have not settled anything. So we wake up this morning to see, no, they're not on strike. They are refusing overtime, and this is a good opportunity to bring our friend Stephen Seiferling in, labor and employment lawyer, managing and founding lawyer of Seiferling Law in Saskatoon. Stephen Seiferling joining me in studio. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
I was expecting it would be a full-out strike this morning, but does the fact that they're only limiting overtime for their employees, does this tell us the union is maybe hopeful that they are close to an agreement?
I don't know that it tells us that they're necessarily hopeful that they're close to an agreement, but bargaining, when it comes down to it, is about leverage. Mm-hmm. When we talked last time around Christmas, we were talking about parcel delivery and things like that that you tend to get at the Christmas time. The other busy season has already passed. That's Mother's Day. There's a lot of shipments on Mother's Day. The one thing that's changed since that last time we spoke is that the union doesn't have that same amount of leverage. They've got a decline in the number of parcels they're handling in Canada because of competition. And people are consuming communication in a different way. They have been for years. A lot of the regular communication, even bills and payments, are done electronically. So there's been a decline in the need for the services, but we're stuck with this collective agreement that guarantees pay, that guarantees no layoffs, and there it guarantees a number of things. Bad contracts make for bad situations, and we've seen a failing situation with Canada Post losing $3 billion over the last 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm. That's the interesting part about this is clearly the business model is not sound for 2025. You talked about it. I mean, we're seeing every year millions of dollars in losses. Some people call it a government subsidy, whatever you want to call it. I think we can all clearly state that we need a national postal service. But where do these two things meet, Stephen? Where the ability to negotiate a contract for employees, which is important, but also the ability to keep this model afloat. How do those two things work together?
Well, you need the parties to work together, and I honestly mean that. You need them to actually look at the model, look at where it's broken, and work together on it. Some of the things that we're talking about, that we're hearing about in the news and some that we aren't, there's a guarantee of no layoffs in that collective agreement. So you cannot lay anybody off. If you've determined that they're an excess worker, they can be declared as surplus, but then they have rights to take all kinds of jobs in the surrounding area. There is no way to lay them off without going through a very lengthy period of time. And what we need is we need a correction of the Postal Service. I agree with you. We need a national Postal Service, but there needs to be a correction so that they can implement efficient business models. And that includes a number of things. It includes possibly price increases on the Postal Service. I mean, postage stamps and there postage stamps and parcels. There's a long process for getting an increase in that. We should simplify that. That would increase the revenue coming in. And then the payments going out, I mean, you have to be able to make it more efficient. There's bans on, there's more a moratorium on closing rural post offices when some of them are servicing very few addresses. There's a restriction on getting rid of home delivery, direct-to-home delivery, where it exists right now. I know a number of communities like mine have the community mailbox. We should be moving all of them to that.
Right.
But there's restrictions in the collective agreement. And until you bargain those restrictions out with the union, and you have to have parties that are willing to come to the table and make those hard decisions, until you bargain those out, you're stuck with the collective agreement.
And some of this stuff, Stephen Seiferling is my guest, some of this stuff was contained in a report. There was a report done with some recommendations of what Canada Post's model should look like going forward.
Yeah, the Kaplan report, the ICC report, came out a few weeks ago, and it discusses a number of these things. It discusses making the delivery more efficient. It discusses being the Canada Post being able to assign people work for the hours that they're already paid for if they have no extra work. Right now, they're being paid for doing their specific route, and if they get it done in less than their allotted time, then the rest of that time is generally not, it doesn't have anything assigned to it. And the Kaplan report said, yeah, we should be able, Canada Post should be able to assign work during those hours, those missing hours. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the going back to the overtime that you talked about, this, we're not going to accept any overtime. I don't think Canada Post in its right mind is going to be assigning any overtime right now. They're looking to cut costs, not expand.
Right. So when we look at the sticking points in this collective agreement, obviously we know wages are in there. At one time, Canada Post was wanting to, I think, open up the pension plan and make some reform. It sounds maybe like they've pulled back on that. And you have to be honest, 55,000 workers no doubt would be anxious about tinkering with the pension plan. You can't be surprised that that was a sticking point. Are there a couple of things in there where you think maybe there is room for both sides to come together and get this done?
Well, one of the big ones is flexibility of delivery. All the competitors do deliveries on the weekends, and Canada Post doesn't right now. They operate based on a five-day work week. The way to get there, it's being discussed, but the way to get there is very, very strongly disagreed upon. Canada Post and the Kaplan Report would like to use part-time workers on the weekend and give the existing workers with the seniority the opportunity to bid into those weekend positions, those part-time positions, but they want to develop them as part-time positions. The union believes that that ends up being gig work and that a lot of it will end up being done by contractors, and so they're resistant to it because those would not be members of their bargaining unit. I understand that, but there is a halfway solution there with the part-time workers being available and all of these restrictions on reductions and layoffs and restructuring need to go. Mm-hmm. The Kaplan report is very clear on that.
So I had some experience when I was with the police service. I was on the association for a number of years and you know, you look at the contract in our world, in the police world, you look at the contract and there were articles in there. There were lines in the contract that had been put in sometimes 5-6 decades ago and were really prescriptive to goofy little things. You almost look at it and go, look, clearly a problem bubbled up and someone said, we're going to fix it in the contract, which ends up being a little bit of a handcuffing. I read this article the other day about this 5-minute hand washing thing in Canada Post. Is that an example where it probably should have been handled outside the contract, but something got stuck in there, and now we're talking about it publicly.
Well, I think you just gave yourself the answer there,
yeah.
Evan. Yeah, it's something that that should have been dealt with outside of the contract. I mean, yes, health and safety and reasonable sanitation these are important things mm-hmm. when you're doing any kind of a job. And so at some point in the negotiations, there was a negotiation where somebody had an issue with not being able to wash up after doing a route and before taking their meal break. And it ended up being negotiated right into the collective agreement. From my perspective, and I admit I'm an employer side lawyer when it comes to this, but from my perspective, less is more in the collective agreement. The more restrictive you end up being in the collective agreement, the less flexible and efficient an operation can be. And that can be for the benefit of the employer and the union. If we're able to change the way we do business, that might require that, okay, suddenly we need to employ a bunch of new people over here in, for Canada Post's sake, say a technology department where they're dealing with stuff technologically rather than assigning a number of people to routes and saying, no, you can't lay anybody off. Mm-hmm. There's lots of ways to deal with it, but there's got to be compromise in order to get there. And this example, the 5-minute hand washing rule that made its way into the collective agreement is one of the ones that the Kaplan Report and others say, you know, this is something that's got to go. But this is part of that bigger picture of being able to assign work for the time that you're getting paid for.
Stephen Seiferling is my guest, the labor employment lawyer, managing and founding lawyer of Seiferling Law in Saskatoon. So you were talking about leverage earlier, and clearly leading up to Christmas, we know what leverage was for Canada Post. There's also a date coming up in June that I think you were highlighting to me off air is probably going to be consequential in this.
Yeah. So it's interesting that the union chose not to go on strike right now because June 20th, a law that was passed by the former Liberal government, not the current one, comes into play, which is a ban in the federal sector on replacement workers. It also bans management workers from doing what we call bargaining unit work. So management, if there's a strike and it extends beyond June 20th, management and replacement workers will not be able to perform the work of Canada Post CUPW workers. Mm. That means that no work is going to get done. And when we're talking about leverage, I mean, unionization and the ability to bargain collectively was seen as a balance historically between the employer and the individual employee that was at a disadvantage because the employees were able to band together and negotiate with the employer and have greater job security. That was seen as a balancing of the rights. Now, with this ban on replacement workers, the union holds all the cards. They could come in and say, okay, we're changing our offer. We want 10% a year for the next 10 years. And we're not coming back to work until you give it to us. And, or in this case, we want to be paid for the hours, even if we're not working them. And we don't care what you think. And we don't care what the bottom line looks like. We're going out until you agree to what we want. And you can't replace us. You can't continue to do the work. If we get past June 20th, this is going to be the first test. And it's arguably a very good test of whether there is any merit to the, in my opinion, ill-advised ban on replacement workers that the Trudeau government put in.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an interesting one to watch unfold. As we said this morning, it is not a full-out strike by Canada Post. It is a withdrawal of overtime. Stephen Seiferling, we always appreciate you coming into the studio. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Evan. It's
always
a pleasure.
I'm sure we'll call on you again. This is the book is not closed yet.
If we get to June 20th, I hope to be back.
Okay, sounds good. Stephen Seiferling, labor employment lawyer and managing and founding lawyer of Seiferling Law in Saskatoon. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.